Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Meet Blake Hamilton, filmmaker, writer, and All the Wonders co-founder. Welcome to All the Wonders, the children's book podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. Things have changed just a little. New name, new logo, new music. By the way, thanks Brian One and Emily Arrow, respectively, for your loving touches on making this change even more special. For nearly 250 episodes, this podcast was known as Let's Get Busy, but change has been long overdue. I thank you for coming with me on this journey. This is episode number 248 of the podcast, and I brought with me a very special guest. Blake Hamilton is a filmmaker, and he writes children's books, but he's also co-founder of All the Wonders. He's my best mate, and soon to be a guy you all love and adore as well, if this conversation that we recorded is any testament. Blake also made one of my favorite Kidlit-related videos ever when he filmed the studio tour of author-illustrator Steve Light's New York City apartment studio. I'll include the video in the show notes, in case you haven't seen it. Well then, let's not waste any time introducing you to one of the most sincere, creative, and amazing people I know. Here's episode number 248 of the podcast with Blake Hamilton, co-founder of All the Wonders. Welcome to the podcast, Blake Hamilton, my BFF. Yay!
This is so awesome.
Is it weird? Is it weird already?
It is. This is strange for many reasons. One, because I've dreamed of coming on your podcast since I've been a longtime fan of yours.
Oh, you're sweet.
And two, because you and I vox each other all day. so it's kind of like a dream come true, but also like how we spend most of the rest of our day anyway.
We just don't normally do it on the record, as it were. So, people listening, Blake Hamilton is the co-founder of All the Wonders. Yay! And we've been working together for months now, almost a year, right? Something like that.
I think all told, it's probably been over a year.
Yeah, so it's been great. I'm glad that we have the friendship that we have, and the partnership that we have, and the website now that we have, and it's been really wonderful, Blake, and I know you hear this all the time, but so people can hear it too. It's been so wonderful, in fact, that I feel like every day our relationship just grows closer in the way that we're getting to work together creatively and see just sort of how similar we are. It's really sort of great that we are these like creative soulmates in that way.
It's amazing, honestly, and I've spent, you know this, I've said this to you before, but I've been a part of several collaborations over the course of my adult life, and I've gotten a lot of great things out of all of them, but this one, I mean, it just feels like it's getting stronger and stronger, and I feel so much love for you as a person and creatively, and it's just, this endeavor feels right in every way, and I couldn't be happier about it. honestly.
Yay.
It's so great.
Well, we're gonna test our friendship tonight because I'm going to make you talk about our creative work.
Oh
I'm
boy.
gonna make you articulate it, and I'll then rely on your smarts, and then I'll chime in. But so Blake, we have this website. We have this website called All the Wonders, and we've had it for, well, I should say, how old is your son? Because it was born the same day that your son was born.
No, not quite.
Not
So,
quite.
okay, that week was, so I started a full-time job at Princeton on October 26th, which also happened to be the date that we had set to launch All the Wonders. So I was in, I'm no longer at Princeton, but I was there at the time. I was in HR getting trained in to my job while my phone was buzzing with the first, posts and Twitter shares and all that stuff. So I'm trying not to excitedly check my phone. So I started a new job. We launched All the Wonders, and then 4 days later, my son was born. So it was three huge transitional things within 4 days, which I'm still recovering from. And very thankful that I have you as a partner because you were very patient with me when I went from, basically putting in like, I don't know, 14 hours a day into All the Wonders to putting in zero for a while. Oh, thank God. That's the beauty of a great partnership, though, honestly, is we've been able to lean on each other when necessary. And it's like a good marriage.
It's been really wonderful, and I think it's been an excellent exercise of trust. And I think that there's been times both when you've been paying that into that trust with me, and likewise, I think I've been paying into that trust for you. So it's been really great. I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. The greatest piece, I do think of this sometimes as a marriage because I love you. And I'm not afraid to say it to the world.
Appreciate that. I love you too, my friend.
Thank you. But the greatest piece of marriage advice I ever got was from my grandmother, who said, everyone thinks of marriage as a partnership, and it is, but it's almost never 50-50. Sometimes it's 60-40 or 40-60 or 10-90. The division of effort and time and all that stuff, it almost never works as a straight split. And I think that that's really true. And I think you have to allow any relationship, whether it's a something like a marriage or a creative collaboration, to flex in that way. And it's really, I feel like for us, it's worked organically exactly that way. And it's been honestly like we have each have bumpy periods where we're busy on other stuff and we have to duck in less often and all that. But it never feels like it never if it feels like we're always there together and we're in it together and the energy stays constant. And it's just a beautiful thing, honestly. It's rewarding every day knowing that I have you there and we get to collaborate on this project, which is a dream project for me, honestly.
It's exciting. It's that thing that you wish that it would be. And hopefully everyone in their life listening has something like this, that you have work and you have your family and you have all of that. And then there's just one, hopefully a nugget of something in your life that you can just see yourself in and feel like, I mean, for me, All the Wonders feels like it's work that's defining me and also is reflective of exactly who I am. I feel like when people visit this site, they really get to see who you and I are, and as well as the people that work with us on the site, because hopefully you're seeing our morals and our values right there in the posts and the way we're trying to engage the people that visit the site and in the way we celebrate, because we're those kind of people that just want to lift everybody up.
Absolutely. And you've been doing it for such a long time with your podcast anyway. And I always say this, and I have no qualms with saying this, that All the Wonders really is an extension of your podcast. It grew out of that. I mean, I would love to talk about how that started, but really that was the seed that sparked this whole thing. And not to mix metaphors, but and here we are. So do you mind if I tell the story about how this happened?
I would love to. I would love for you to tell our origin story.
Yeah, and feel free to chime in because I may botch it a little bit, but I love telling it because I started off just basically as a Matthew Winter fanboy. I was
It's so weird to hear this. It's to hear the other side of this is weird. Okay,
Yeah, no,
continue.
so basically I had been, I had decided so I've always wanted to be involved in the children's book world since I was a kid. My mom was buying me books on, okay, we're going way back now, but my mom was buying me books on writing and illustrating children's books when I was still a child. It was something I knew I always wanted to do. But I got sidetracked for a bunch of reasons into film, and I've been pursuing film and TV and video my whole career. But recently, about, I don't know, 2 years ago, decided that I was going to really finally do the work, where my heart was, which is writing for children. But I had this skill set working in film for so long that I didn't want to just, throw away. I wanted to find a way to combine them. So anyway, I was listening to your podcast, and your podcast really was one of the things that helped me feel comfortable in this children's book world and pursuing it and get over some of my jadedness from the film world, which is something we talk about a lot. You were being interviewed on the Picture Booking podcast by Nick Patton.
Yeah, it was my 100th episode, so I did a little tour of just friends' blogs, and gosh, I love Nick's podcast, so he was kind enough to invite me on.
Yeah,
But
I love it too. And I loved it, having both you guys in my car during my commute and, on my walks and all that was honestly a godsend for me at that time. So I was listening to your podcast, or sorry, I was listening to Nick's podcast with
yeah.
you, and he asked the question he always asked at the end, which was something like, forgive me, Nick, if I botched this, but it was something like, if money and time were no obstacle, and you could work on any project, what project would it be? And you talked about wanting to build a platform that helped get children's books out there in the same way that things like video games and movies are, to talk about them in that same public way and to bring them the caliber of attention that those mediums have.
Yeah.
Was that pretty much the gist of it, if I remember
Yeah,
correctly?
I mean, for to go back even further, and I think I've talked to you about this a bit, but prior to that, I had been dreaming up something like, well, really trying to, knowing that Reading Rainbow played such a role in so many of our lives, and then it went away. And at the time when I was having these conversations with some friends, including Ari Chung, author of Ninja, there wasn't any word at all that it would ever be coming back. It existed online, but not as a show, not like it coming is coming back now. So when I was chatting with Ari, we had started these ideas of like, what if we could do some video thing where we talk about books and where we engage readers that way, and we talk about things you can do extending out from the book as a parent and as a teacher and as a whatever. But for Ari and I, we both were just so busy that the conversation hit a point where we couldn't go any further. He got really busy with the side company he was starting, and I, as always, am perpetually busy with the podcast and with teaching. So when Nick asked that question, I think it was sort of, I mean, I had the question ahead of time. I knew that he was going to ask it, and I know his podcast, but I don't think I anticipated, one, that anyone would even hear it and think twice about it. But two, that I would want to talk so much about it. It really has been something I've been thinking about a lot, that I really want and need parents to be fans of children's books and to champion those books for their kids as strongly as a librarian can, or as strongly as a teacher or a children's literature enthusiast can. So thank goodness you heard that
And
podcast.
there's another beautiful explanation. Exactly. No, it was that type of thing that I heard, and it was so inspiring. And the thing was, I had, so again, here I was, at this point, only probably like 6 months into really in earnest trying to transition into the children's book world. And I had been having a lot of ideas about how to use media, alongside books to help those books get, I don't want to say get noticed, but to help communicate the message of those books. And so when you mentioned that, I had already felt a connection to you just from listening to your podcast, but also you had a lot of the same, pop culture references that I did, things like Reading Rainbow, things like the Nerdist podcast, which you and I have since geeked out over a million times. So I was like, I want to make multimedia around books. I want to find a way to do this. And Matthew, his dream is to do this. So let me just shoot him an email. So I did this thing that I so rarely do, which is just, reach out to someone who I respected, who had no idea who I was. And basically, if I remember correctly, in the email saying something like, "Hey Matthew, giving you my spiel. I come from, a video, film, TV background. And I heard your interview, and I would love, if you're serious about doing something like that, I have some ideas about how it could be done. So let me know, and I would love to hop on Skype with you at some point and prove to you that I'm not a serial killer or something like that." And so we went back and forth via email for a little while, and then we Skyped, and then we Skyped again, and then we Skyped more often, and it just started getting really exciting, and the ideas were flowing, and then all of a sudden, I don't know if you remember, but I felt like there was this energy that suddenly happened, like maybe late spring last year or early summer, where it was like, okay, this is getting real fast. Like, we have real ideas. And then we started reaching out to people, and people started responding and agreeing to contribute content. And we talked to the amazing Brian Wan about doing our branding, and he was on board. And it just, like, all of a sudden, it started to become a real thing.
Yeah, we hit a point when it was, oh, we really need to. We were able to articulate our vision so much more clearly that other people could start seeing it as well and wanted to be a part of it. And, so blessed to have people like Carter Higgins in with us from the start, and Emily Arrow, who now has launched a great career in writing book-inspired music, and Daniel Davis. Like, we really surrounded ourselves with friends, people that I had been reading their blogs, and probably you had too, for a long time. And so to start off with our first steps as a site with friends by our side, I mean, that's sort of been our thing all along, right? We continue to draw our friends in to
Yeah,
work with them.
it really was amazing. And then and we brought in Mike Ciccatello, who I met at the other, one of the other most influential things, I guess one of the most influential things that happened at that time in my life was going to my first SCBWI conference, which was in New Jersey. Yay, NJSCBWI, where I met Mike, who is just the man. I mean,
See,
he's an
I was saving him out because I was ready to say, and then we met Mike, who's sort of the third piece of the Triforce.
He is the Triforce,
He's
yeah.
Mike's the best.
So Mike's an illustrator, amazing illustrator, and an animator. And every time I see him, he surprises me with some amazing skill he had. So last time, he sat down at a piano and blew everyone's mind, just playing jazz piano, improvising
I
with the
had no
pianist who
idea.
was there. I was like, and people were standing around like, "Who are you? Like, where does this stuff come from?" So he is a man of many talents, and we're lucky to have him as a friend and also as a collaborator. He's got stuff all over our site that's amazing. And then, like, so he came on board, and then, like, amazing things started to happen. So I put out, we needed someone to design the website, to actually, not to design the website, to build the website. And we we had tried doing it on our own a few times, very unsuccessfully.
You can build things with Squarespace, but not when your
Not
ambition,
all the time,
well, not when
yes.
your ambition is as strong as ours was for this site.
Yeah, not a multimedia website of this caliber, or this complexity, I should say. But so I put out a thing on Facebook saying, like, hey, if anyone wants to if anyone knows anybody who could who's really great at, web development, I have a fun project I'm working on. And some people responded with some recommendations, and I was like, we don't really have money. This is kind of a passion project. And one of the people who reached out to me was a friend of mine named Dan Doyle, who I'm saying he's a friend now, but to be totally honest, I hadn't spoken to him since college, which is going back to 2001, so 16, 15 years ago. And he shot my third year film in film school, a film that I wrote and directed called Becoming Mighty. He was a cinematographer on that. And then I hadn't spoken to him in literally 15 years, and he was like, "Hey, I do web development now. I'll help you guys out." And he did the whole thing for us, and it's amazing. And we were so lucky to have him. So it's just one lucky thing after another of just, I think, putting positive vibes out there and getting positive returns. And honestly, like, I've never been a part of something that went so easily as that did. Not that we haven't had our bumps in the road, but it was a very amazing start to a great journey. And I should say, by that point, your and my courting period was over. We were officially good friends at
Oh
that
yeah.
point.
No, I
We were
agree.
close friends and, collaborators, and since then it's just been, so we launched, what, it was October 26th, so we're going on almost 5 months now. We're still very young. And sometimes it's easy to lose track of that we've only been out for less than 5 months. It's crazy because so much has happened.
It feels now like we're starting to get our footing and able to draw more people in, which is really great to see a team building and to have that. But hey, so we've been out for 5 months now, and it's always fun when I talk to authors and illustrators when they come on, because whenever we talk, often their books aren't out yet, and I always ask them to sort of do a book talk for their book. What is your book all about? I mean, I could do it, but it's fun to ask them but it's often something that they haven't practiced yet. But right. We've been out for 5 months. Have you practiced at all what we are or who we are? I struggle with this, but I'd love for you to take a crack at it, and I'll say mine too if you want.
It's hard. Yeah, it's. Have I practiced it? I haven't like done the elevator pitch, like, you know, staring in the mirror.
Right.
But you know, I talk about it a lot with people, because it's, you know, it's my passion. But I guess you want me to give it a go.
Yeah, give it a go. I mean, I could read. I always default to. We work so hard writing the about blurb on our site, so I copy and paste it all the blessed time.
Yeah,
but no,
I think it's a pretty good job of explaining what we are. But I would say, you know, the way that I always explain to people is that, you know, some people have said, and I do agree with this, that we're in a sort of golden age of children's books. And the problem with particularly picture books is that, unfortunately, so many of them come out and, you know, they're fighting to get their place in the big bookstores, and then they're fighting to get their place on the shelf and fighting to get their place face out and all that stuff. And what we're trying to do is basically create a multimedia presence that helps give multiple entry points to some of these great books and helps them get noticed from many different vantage points. And the example I always give, although we're doing it on a much smaller scale, obviously, is, you know, when you look at things like Disney properties, like a Frozen or something like that, you see how kids can appreciate a story like that by experiencing the album, you know, the soundtrack, the books, the games, the toys, all that stuff. And it's really hard, you know, with something like a picture book to compete with that, obviously. But because of the democratization of technology, it's not so hard to build multimedia content, to build videos and songs and crafts projects and all that stuff. So what we're trying to do is basically say, hey, look, there are these great, amazing, beautiful books made by amazing, beautiful people that you should know about. And we're going to help you know about it, because we're not just going to, you know, hand you this book. We're going to show you how you can appreciate it and how you as a librarian or teacher or parent can not only read this book to your kid, but you can play this song in your car, or you can show them this video about the book, or you can build this, make this crafts project with them. And so that's basically the idea. We are a multimedia website built around children's books.
That's right. And it's fun to continue to question ourselves. What does it mean to be multimedia, and what kind of things do we want to be trying? Because I've really had a lot of fun with when we approached doing things like book cover reveals or book trailer premieres, or even just guest posts from different authors, to be able to ask ourselves, well, how do we want to do this? What do we want our voice to be in this realm of things that are very common in you know, the blogging community, but also, like, what do we want our voice to sound like on Instagram or in Twitter or things like that? It's been fun to explore that, to understand ourselves better by the choices that we've been making.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, there's definitely a level of trial and error to what we're doing. I think, you know, we know that certain things will stick and certain things won't in the long term. But it's really all comes down to just wanting to help bring attention to great books and to, you know, don't get me wrong, we love being creative. So we love being able to put our own creative touches on things and, you know, create some original content through the site, hopefully at some point and stuff like that. I mean, we have a lot of goals for All the Wonders. You know, you and I, one thing that you and I always say, Matthew, is like, we're really proud of what we built and what we continue to build, but we feel like we're only achieving a small percentage of what we could do and hope to do over time.
You always say we're operating at like 5 or 10%.
Yeah, and I do feel that way. I mean, because look, let's be honest. You know, you're working full time. I was working full time. Now I'm back to freelance. We have jobs. You and I each have 2 kids. You know, Mike has 2 kids. Where it's a battle, and it's a battle to spend our free time on this stuff, and we're doing the best we can. I think we're doing a great job, but you know what we envision and what we think is possible with All the Wonders. Yeah, I think we're really doing about 5 to 10% of it. We're doing that 5 to 10% very well, I hope. But there's a lot of room for growth, for sure.
I think it's just exciting to know that, like, if you like what you find here, and hopefully the people listening have gone to our site, and if not, they'll go now. But if you like what you find on our site, just imagine that we've got so many other things that we're dreaming up that it might just even mean having the right people join our team, or it might mean having the right access to different resources. I can't wait to see our voice in terms of what we can do in relation to library conferences and book festivals and things like that, because we haven't ventured anywhere near that too. I mean, there's just so much.
Yeah, and one thing I should say is while we collaborate with a number of people, and there are more people coming in to collaborate with us, which is amazing. The way we approached everyone from the beginning, in the start when it was reaching out to people like Carter and Danielle and Emily and Mike and all those people, and even now we're reaching out to some other people. We just got a couple of amazing posts by Katie Howes, who is phenomenal. It was always like, you're doing amazing stuff. Do that with us. We're not, we want you to do, a different version of it, because we don't want it to be the stuff that you have on your site. But we're not trying to make people fit into a certain paradigm. We're looking for people who are kind of speaking the same language as us, and just saying, hey, do something like that that you do really well and cool over there, and do a different version of it with us. And I think it's worked really well for us, because even though we have these diverse talents of people on board, from myself, who's comes from a writing and film background, and you with your podcast, and Nick with his podcast, and Mike with the illustration anime, Carter, everybody, all these people, we're all coming at it with different approaches, but it does feel, I think, and I hope, like it's part of the same world, and yet everyone is still able to maintain their individual voices within that, which I think is really important.
Oh, I totally agree. Hey, Blake, when we you were talking a little bit about what else you'd like to do on the site, what's if we had all the resources right now, what would be the one thing you would want to do on the site? What's one thing that I don't know that just you in a dream world would want to be able to I'm hearing myself ask Nick's question. If I could eliminate the barriers of time and money.
That's what it is. That's okay. You got it right. I got it wrong. I paraphrased. That's a good question. If it could be, I guess from my perspective, because I'm sort of the one coming at it from the video side, it would be to expand that a great deal. Video production obviously is a very time-consuming process, and a potentially expensive process. It doesn't have to be, but it can be. Right now I'm pretty much a one-man show on that. I mean, Mike's doing animation, amazing animation. So that's video. But in terms of like actual production, and post-production, we're very limited. Our resources are very limited there. So and again, we're doing it with our free time. So I would love to see, I would love to have the means to really develop a All the Wonders sort of production arm that's constantly working and constantly putting out content, I would say. Because we have your podcast and we have Nick's podcast, and I can't imagine two better podcasts than those, honestly. And you guys are putting them out on a consistent basis, which is great. And we have great bloggers working with us already. So I would say, yeah, being able to build out that video stuff in a big way would be where I'd like to see us grow first.
Yeah, no doubt. For
But
me,
again,
it's
that's also because that's my, that's my thing.
right. I think mine is an extension of that too. I really like that feeling of being connected, right? Which is sort of why we get on so well, because you are so good at affirming the work that I do, and we just of being a good friend like that. And so I think a lot about making the human connection at All the Wonders. I look forward to, and this can be years off or it can be soon. Who knows when it'll actually end up happening? But I look forward to seeing us have a presence at conferences, or throwing a kid lit barbecue of our own, or an ed camp, or something like that, where we can get parents and kids and kid lit enthusiasts and authors and illustrators together on the same page, and just be excited about being excited about books.
Absolutely. The energy when you get people in this world together is so intoxicating. And again, coming from the film world, I did my time in LA in my early 20s. And I've worked in New York a whole bunch. And I think it's, to a certain degree, it scarred me. And when I came into the children's book world, to be honest, it was like I came in with those scars and opened up my heart to this world that I wanted to be in, and was just utterly amazed at how genuine and hopeful and caring for one another almost everybody in the children's book world is. And it's such a nice, and I feel like you do such a great job capturing on this podcast. And I have no doubt that everyone listening agrees. And so, yeah, having events like that is just, anytime you can get groups of people together whose primary objective in life is to make great books for kids, yes, it's just a wonderful thing.
And just to know too, that there's good people behind those books. Like, you like that book. That book resonates with you. That book is like special at your bedtime with your kid. And you know what? The person making it, they made it just for you. That's the kind of people that we have working in this business. Or the person that handed you the book or recommended you that book in the bookstore or in the library, they recommended it just for you. That's always the attitude I feel when I talk to these authors or illustrators. And when I'm at library conferences with my friends or wherever, I think what I try to put out myself into the world, I always want, it's this huge industry, if you will, but everyone is working for individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely, that's really a beautiful thing that makes us really, really tight knit. And in a way that we can celebrate and know that the same book written for thousands of people was written for thousands of individuals to enjoy during those really intimate times when we do enjoy books, when you feel like no one else is there listening. It's just for you. It's a beautiful thing. And how cool that it permeates into not just writing books, but being in front of children and celebrating online and doing things like that. It's really great. I constantly feel like we're blessed to be doing what we're doing. It's unreal.
We really are. And I've had so many moments, you know, since I transitioned into this field of just feeling like, man, I finally found my way home.
Yeah.
You know, working with you and everyone at All the Wonders, going to, you know, conferences like the New Jersey SCBWI conference, you just get that, you leave and you have the sense of like, ah, I found my group, you know, I found my posse, sort of.
No doubt.
It's, you know, it's hard. Obviously, look, there's a business aspect to making books for kids and all that stuff, but it's really hard to be cutthroat or sharky in a field where everyone's trying to make stuff that inspires children, makes them feel good about themselves, you know, instills love and hope in them. It's, you know, how can that be a bad thing? Or how can you, it's hard to turn that into a negative, you know?
I agree. Hey, speaking of that inspiration and turning that interest on in these young lives, you shared with me a great story about, I don't know if it was like your first encounter with being on set, mm-hmm, for a film, but I would love if you don't mind sharing that. Cause I feel like those moments, those are really beautiful moments. And I love that you have that story to share. Do you mind sharing it here?
No, I don't. And you know what's funny about that, Matthew? I was thinking about it today and I realized that it may actually have led to me reaching out to you, because I am actually a very shy person. And I only reached out to you via email blindly, because I was able to build up the confidence to do it. And I think it probably all comes from this story. So I'll backtrack. So we're going back to, let's see, this is like 1998, I think it was. It was the summer after my freshman year of college. I was in film school. And I came home for the summer and I wanted to work on set in New York. I was living in Staten Island at the time with my parents. And my mother was working in Tribeca. And she, or was it Tribeca or so? It doesn't matter. She's working in Manhattan. And she texts me and says, hey, there's a film shoot going on right near the shop. You should come in. They're shooting outside. You can totally approach them. And just tell them, you know, you're looking for an internship or whatever. And I knew nothing about the film industry at this point. So I was like, okay, that sounds good. So I commuted in from Staten Island, which is, you know, a good 45 minutes to an hour and 15, depending on traffic. I get all the way in, you know, an hour later or so. And they've now moved the set inside into a restaurant. And now, being a teenager, I'm mad because I've just, you know, wasted my time coming in. And so I go over to my mom's business and I say, Mom, I can imagine my teenage voice. Mom, what the heck? I came all the way in. The set's closed. I saw, the PA was standing outside. He said no one's allowed in. What a waste of time. And she said, "Come here, Blake." She took my hand, closed up the shop, walked me out of her store, down the street to the set, through the door, onto the set, and we stood there. Like, we literally just walked into the set and stood there. And we're surrounded by crew people walking back. And I'm like, what are we doing? And we stand there for about 10 minutes until my mother realizes, I'm fine where I am. And she says, I'm going to leave you here. Have fun. She leaves. And I'm like, I can't believe you can just do that. Sure enough, a woman, she kind of eyeballs me a couple times, and then she comes over and she says, "Hey, I've seen you've been standing here for like an hour now. What's the deal?" And I said, "Oh, I'm in film school and I'm really hoping to get an internship on set, and I saw you guys were shooting, it looked cool." And she says, "Actually, we're looking for an assistant to the director. Why don't you come upstairs?" I went upstairs with her, signed some papers, and I spent the next month and a half as an assistant to the director of that movie. It was a $3 million independent feature with some celebrities in it. And I got to work on my first set. And then even after that, because I had worked with people who I had worked with a good number of people on that crew, the rest of the summer, those people went on to other projects, and now I got hired, I got paid work out of it. So I ended up working on multiple sets as a result of my mother literally taking me by the hand and saying, "You can do this," and closing up her shop and taking me there, and that was that. And honestly, like, it taught me that you make barriers in your mind. I mean, there was a literal barrier, there was a closed door. But because she had the confidence in me and wanted to show me that you can do anything, I got on set, and it led to a summer of work, and it really changed my life, honestly. So here we are. Again, maybe, who knows? Would I have said, "You know what? I can email that guy. He's approachable." Maybe not. I don't know if I would have. I learned a really valuable lesson that day. It's still not my personality to do that. I have to battle myself every time I, try and go through a closed door, or even knock on a door, or send an email to someone I don't know. It's a battle. But thanks, Mom.
Well, hopefully it's sort of, I'm in this unique situation, aren't I, that I have this podcast. So more than a blog could possibly accomplish, people listening, everyone listening now, you know who I am because you listen to me talk, and I don't make any attempts to hide who I am on this podcast. So hopefully the person that you met on the other end of that email, hopefully I've held up to who you first found on the podcast, because I tend to I don't know how to play any other character. I only know how to do me.
No,
But
that's what's so amazing about you is you do you really
well,
well.
good. I'm glad
You
it's
are
holding up.
you strike everyone as really genuine, I think, and you truly are. And it's one of the things that makes you such a special person, Matthew. Honestly, you put a lot of positivity out into the world, and it is genuine. And I've said this to you before, you hear a lot of people in entertainment speak positively and wear a smile, but you can tell when it's fake, and it is genuine coming from you. You love what you do, you love kids, you love people, and it comes across on this show. And it really, now that I've gotten to know you so well and consider you, one of my best friends, I can say without a doubt that it is really who you are. And everyone listening, if you had any doubt, which I'm sure you didn't, this is Matthew Winter, ladies and gentlemen. Round of applause.
Lord. Well, as I am, I think, prone to do for, again, people that know me, I want to end our chat by bringing it back to my kids, because I am so thankful that I get to see some of our 800 students every single day, and I get to be a part of their life, and I get to bring what I do outside of school back to them. That's sort of one of the greatest rewards I get, is that I get these stories and I get these books and I get to meet these people that then are part of my life and get to be part of their life. So Blake, before I let you go, I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm going to give you the final word on the podcast, but I wanted to say before I do, thank you for coming on. I value our friendship and I value our partnership, but I value you above everything, and I'm glad that you are the guy that you are, because it's a no-brainer to work with you. You're a really great guy.
Thank you, Matthew. You know, I feel the same, honestly.
All right,
I
Blake.
feel lucky every day we get to collaborate with each other.
Me too. Okay, so I'm going to see a library full of children tomorrow morning. Blake, what message would you like me to bring them from you?
Visit allthewonders.com. So
I'm like air high-fiving you on that. That's ridiculous.
Well, let me preface it by saying that the reason why I got into film, and while I love film, it was never really the field I was supposed to get into, was because when I was in around junior high, I stopped reading for pleasure almost entirely. I did stop reading for pleasure entirely. I loved books in elementary school. And then just because of the books I was being assigned that I didn't connect with and all these things, I stopped reading. But I knew I wanted to be a writer since the second grade. I always knew. So what happened was by the time I got into high school and I had to start thinking about college, I was like, well, I can't very well go to school for writing if I don't read. So I discovered filmmaking as a storytelling medium and went down that path, and then, of course, fell back in love with books after school, but was now on a course down the road of, within the film industry, and kind of took me all this time to realize where I really belonged, and being a fan of books now, you know, a diehard fan and collector of books since my early 20s, and really reading middle grade and all that stuff for the first time in my 20s, and reading Roald Dahl for the first time at 22, and The Little Prince for the first time at 22, and all that stuff. I guess my message would be to kids, if you love books, that's amazing. Keep on reading. You know, don't ever stop. But if you don't, that's okay. But don't give up on them. You know, I think it's fine if you don't like the books you're reading at school or the books your parents give you. Look for books that are like the movies you love. Look for books that your closest friends who have the same tastes as you like. And I guess finally I would say, you know, books are not assignments. They are gifts. They are talismans. They are keys. Don't give up until you find the one that was written just for you. And then find another one and another one. You will not regret it.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 250 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if the episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook and Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, Dan Santat returns to talk about Are We There Yet?, his brand new picture book that I promise will literally make you look at picture books in a whole new way. And after that, Pseudonymous Bosch has secrets to keep and secrets to share, but not without first talking about Bad Luck, his second in the Bad Books series. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favorite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.